Watching the smoke rise ahead of the convoy through the front windows of the lead wag, the trader suddenly jerked alert as the desert abruptly yawned wide before Warwag 1. What in hell was that? A nuke crater? But then she saw dozens of burning buildings sprawling in the ground below. That was no skybomb crater, but a sinkhole with a pre-dark city inside. Kate placed aside her cold can of soup, the spoon rattling loose.
All stop!
Bet your ass I'm stopping!
Jake brought the massive vehicle to a slow halt.
Black dust! Will you look at that? Just look at it!
Kate was doing just that, and even as the trader rose from her chair, the woman found herself unsure of what to do next. The ruins were enormous. Dozens of blocks with huge brick buildings rising almost level to the desert floor. From the billowing smoke, it appeared that most of the place was burning. But her people had done raids on crumbling pre-dark ruins before, once while a mall was sinking into a swamp, and another while it was getting bombed during a sandstorm. Burning made it trickier, but not impossible. Nothing was impossible. Jessica massaged her temples.
Nuking hell! Just look at it!
Shit, fire. Maybe it is a blast crater. Check the rads immediately.
Eric's voice suddenly came over the ceiling speakers.
I already did, and it's clear. Whatever destroyed this place wasn't atomic.
Kate ran stiff fingers through her hair.
Not a hot zone, that's good. But this was the source of that mushroom cloud we saw before?
Dead on. Same Latin lunge.
Maybe it was white smoke, or a salt whirlwind forming in the hole. Hell, I don't know. But look at all those buildings.
Just think of it. A complete pre-dark veil. Fuel, ammo, food, clothing, meds.
Rads, tox chems, muties, booby traps, cave-ins, avalanche, Gaza, the core. The bigger the prize, the more ants there will be trying to carry pieces away.
Roberto craned his neck for a better view out the front windshield.
At the rate it's going, there won't be anything left in a few days.
That raised an interesting point for Kate. Two villes destroyed in the desert, one by water, now another by fire. Could this also be the work of the outlander called Ryan? Maybe her info on the man was scragged like a comp disc. Could be he was a technophobe and hated any kind of science or white coat. She had encountered such phoebes before, but generally only as loonies running about in rags. Folks like that weren't really a threat to anybody but themselves. But this was another matter entirely.
Okay, we're going to do a full wreck.
Kate watched the buzzard circle in the sky about the sunken city.
Put the cargo vans behind those big dunes to the south, with Warwag 2 as protection. I want hands on blasters and fingers on triggers.
We're going in alone?
Not quite.
Whatever else Kate was about to say was interrupted by a shout of surprise from the tech at the radar screen.
Chief, we have a bounce on the screen.
The tech, nicknamed Blackjack, worked the controls. The luminous arms of the radar swept along the glowing screen, leaving ghostly blobs in its wake of varying sizes. Roberto studied the screen.
Something from a skyscraper?
Glancing out the front windows, Kate scowled darkly.
No, the SIG is too small and a good mile away. Must be on the far side of the crater, sinkhole, whatever this fragging thing is.
Hard to tell for sure.
Blackjack caressed the controls to urge greater clarity from the old patched equipment.
There's so much fucking hash in the atmosphere. But it appears to be something large and metal on the far side of the crater.
A wag? Going to the periscope, Kate pulled it up and tried to get a look. But even with the max magnification, the billowing smoke from the conflagration below masked most of the city, along with anything beyond.
Is it moving?
The man didn't reply for a minute, but soon relaxed.
No, traitor. It appears to be standing still.
Just some wreckage or ruins, then. Although this part of the Great Salt is normally bare as a baron's heart.
Jake, move us farther away from the edge of the cliff. It doesn't look too damn stable. We're staying here as the anchor. Bert, send out some troops on the bikes for a wreck. I want a complete circle of the pit.
Roberto flipped open his hand comm, and after whipping it against his open palm a few times, placed it in front of his mouth.
Fat Pete, looks like you're gonna get to do your favorite thing again. Round up some of your bikers to form a wreck detail, and then get up here for supplies, pronto.
Will do, Bert.
After stowing his comm back in his pocket, Roberto observed Kate still peering into the periscope.
Still looking for a way down yourself? No way in hell we're ever going to find a trail wide enough for the rigs, much less secure enough to take the weight.
Only nobody tries a descent without my permission. Gaza could have set fire to the ruins as a distraction to night creep us from behind. Eric, keep the ear going at full power.
Done and done.
Think Gaza is going to try to jack the whole convoy? Mighty ambitious for the Baron.
He jacked a vill once, remember? Why not a convoy?
Fat Pete finally entered, and once Kate gave him orders, Roberto rounded up supplies for the biker. Stuffing some spare ammo clips into his pockets, Fat Pete took an Aussie Digger hat hanging from the rear of the chair at the 50 cal and headed for the door.
Orders understood. Be back in a few.
Stay Razor.
An armed guard lowered the curved section of the hull to the sandy ground outside. Instantly, a warm breeze blew into the control room of the rig.
Radio when you can.
If we can, sure.
Fat Pete descended the metal steps, wisps of smoke coming through the open hatchway, carrying the smell of wood and some kind of meat. Whatever the frag that could possibly be, she had no damn idea. Watching the rear vid screens, Kate saw Pete and five other troopers haul down the motorcycles from the side-mounted racks of Warwag 2 and check the engines and fuel tanks.
Prime the missiles in the main pod. We may have to provide some cover for the riders.
Already on it, Chief.
Both of Jessica's hands threw switches and turned dials.
We're loaded and ready.
Not yet. Turn off the heat seekers or the damn rockets will just arch down after the fire.
Jake's hands played over the controls like a musician.
But we'll be shooting blind without them. Might ace our own people.
Lock the first one on the metal thing.
Alert! I have blaster fire.
The traitor leaned toward the front window of the war wag.
Shitfire, give me a location.
Inconclusive. Almost sounds like two different spots at the same time.
Are they near each other? We got some sort of firefight going on down there?
Negative on that, Chief. The blasters are much too far apart to be shooting at each other.
Probably just old ammo cooking off from the heat.
Roberto had both hands on the grips of the portside 50 cal and was nervously shuffling his boots on the corrugated floor.
Yeah? Mix probable with always and you get aced constantly.
Her second-in-command grinned. She always knew how to put his mind at ease.
Stay loose. Gaza is the one to be worried if he's here.
Roberto nodded in reply and took on a more normal stance.
And what if it's Ryan?
Honestly? Ain't decided on him yet.
Just then, the darkening clouds overhead rumbled with thunder, and the wind slightly increased, kicking up more loose salt and sand until it was almost a visible river of motion. As each bolt of lightning lit up the fiery clouds, there was a faint crackle of static from the speakers, and several of the meters flicked. The radar screen went out of focus, and the compass spun wildly. Pulling the half clip from her Ingram, Kate placed it aside for reloading later on and inserted a full mag into the blaster, working the bolt to chamber around and clicking off the safety. A blaster fight or old ammo? Gaza or Ryan or something else entirely? There was no way of telling. But something down deep in her bones told the woman that one way or the other, there was a hell of a storm coming. On the far side of the sinkhole, masked by the raging fires filling the city, the second Sec Hunter droid finally responded to the radio beacon of its smashed brother. The damaged droid began to remove bits and pieces of the destroyed machine, replacing weapons, servo mechanisms, solenoids, eyes, and power packs. The buzzards eating the dead watched impassively as the droid slowly rebuilt itself.